We're to observe the Lord's Supper tonight, and I want to bring a message on the Lord's Supper briefly. And if you'd like to follow along, turn to 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, verses 22 through 24. I want to speak to you on the purpose of the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22. What have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I've delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The purpose of the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26 says, For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Luke 22 in verse number 19, and he took the bread and gave thanks, brake it, gave it unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. The purpose is to do this, which that you do in the supper, in remembrance of him. The bread, the unleavened bread, represents his sinless body. And when we partake of that bread, we are showing forth his death, the kind of death he died, his suffering, the kind of suffering that he went through. And we need to have our hearts and our minds set upon that suffering. As a matter of fact, if you would, with me, turn to the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, Isaiah chapter 53, beginning with verse number 3, verses 3 through 5. It says, He is despised and rejected of the men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Then turn with me to the book of Psalms, the 129th Psalm. And verse 2, or rather verse 3. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. Now we're talking about the suffering of Jesus. We're to be mindful of that. We have that on our heart and our mind. We're to concentrate on the suffering that he went through, the death that he died. As we observe this supper, the plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. In other words, they took the cat of nine tails, and they made gashes across the back that were like furrows in a garden where that you plowed the ground. Then in the book of Psalms 22, verses 13 through 18. Psalms 22. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. Now you think about it. You get a little finger out of joint, and man, does it ever hurt. Any joint that's out. All of his were out. My heart is like wax. He was brokenhearted. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Now you think about it. All of his joints are out. His back has furrows in it from the beatings that he took. And by the way, those beatings were ours. He didn't deserve it. It was an abomination that one as wonderful and as righteous and loving as he was should suffer in that manner. But he had to suffer in order to redeem you and me. He had to suffer so that a penalty that was upon us could be removed. He had to suffer so that we would not be eternally dead spiritually, and that's separated from him who is God and all that's good for all of eternity. Right. Now think about it. When we observe the supper, we're remembering his death. We're remembering his suffering, he says. And we'll observe it until he comes. We're reminded of the great price that he paid in order to redeem us, in order to raise us out of the bondage of sin. We were a slave to sin, and he raised us up, and he raised us up spiritually, and so that we have a new nature that can overcome that sin. And so here, this is the price that he paid. The furrows in his back, the bones that were, he could see the bones clearly. The flesh was torn off of his bones. And he was so despised and treated cruelly all of his life by many or most. Then think about the agony that he went through. This supper is to remind us. It's to make us stop and think what he had to go through. Make us stop and think how much he loved us. Stop and think how we ought to love him because he loved us. The purpose, again, is picture and show forth. And this is the duty of the church to do, because he placed this ordinance in the church, and it's a pictorial ordinance. Show forth, picture shows forth. Okay, it's to show forth his death. It's to for us to see it clearly and others. And by the way, I would that the building was full tonight of people who were not members of this church or lost people, so that they could see and understand the suffering that Jesus went through. And when we put in our mouth that bread that represents a broken and torn body, and we mesh on it and crunch on it with our teeth, just think about it. His flesh was crunched like that bread is in our mouth. Does he want us to know how serious that his death was, how horrible that it was? Yes, he does, because he wants us to see how horrible that we were, see how horrible that we can be, and how horrible that we are in that old man and that old nature, and make us appreciate that we've got that new nature. We can overcome. We can overcome that. And listen, when the church observes the Lord's Supper, she needs to remember that it's a picture and that she's showing forth. Remember what she's showing forth, and she should do it in the manner in which he prescribed it to be done so that the picture will not be marred. Yeah. So the message not be misunderstood. Should observe the Lord's Supper. Look at Acts 2, verses 41 and 42. Who should observe it? And remember Christ, who suffered and died as he did the horrible death. Then he set forth these qualifications and restrictions around the supper that the picture being shown forth again would not be marred. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. So, for one to observe the Lord's Supper, they have to have scriptural baptism. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Of course, understood. First they got to be saved, then scriptural baptism, and then they can be added to the New Testament church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. That also emphasizes that one needs to be in fellowship with the church. The church needs to be in unity and harmony in order to observe the Lord's Supper, and then each individual in the church are to be in unity and in harmony. Then, who has the authority to observe the supper? We've already mentioned about the church. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the commission that was given to the church. And Jesus came, spake unto them, saying, all power, that's all authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The Lord placed the ordinances in the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper, again, pictorial ordinances. The church is responsible for keeping them pure and keeping them clean from the world and the ways of the world. In other words, when the supper is to be observed and the body of Christ is represented by unleavened bread, then we're to use unleavened bread. We're not to use soda crackers. And when that cup is to contain pure grape juice, a fruit of the vine, and not alcoholic beverage or some other. I heard of people supposedly observing the Lord's Supper with soda crackers and Pepsi. It's abomination. It's marring the picture. What do you mean? Soda crackers representing the body of Christ are not unleavened. They have leaven. Leaven was added to it. And so the church has the authority to guard and to protect and to make sure that these things are maintained. When the church observes the supper, she's to be united. Look at 1 Corinthians 11, verses 16 through 20. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now in this that I declare unto you, I please you not that ye, or I praise you not that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. The church is to be in unity and in harmony. No divisions, no heresies, and so forth. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the church must examine herself. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Begin with verse 12. What have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So the church is to examine. And if she finds some who are walking disorderly, if he finds some who have unconfessed sin and dealt with sin in their life, then the church is to deny giving them the Lord's Supper. The disorderly, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6. Now, we command you, brethren, church, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. If one's walking disorderly, one's out of step, it's causing division, it's causing contention. And that being the case, we're not to eat the supper with them. The only eating that's considered here is the Lord's Supper, because that's the only kind of eating you're to do in a worship service in a New Testament church. And people of bad character, 1 Corinthians 5:11 says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, know not to eat. Such a one, know not to eat. 1 Corinthians, there with the one that was caught in a fornication publicly, the church was making light of it. That contributes to, or maybe a result of, how they were dealing with the Lord's Supper. They were not keeping up with their discipline. They were not keeping up with keeping sin out of the church. And anything, when the church observes the Lord's Supper, every member should be prayed up. Every member should be ready to go up. Every member ought to have their heart truly right with God and ought to be able then to discern his body, which is what we talked about earlier, to discern his body if one can't do that, they need to get things right. Well, I'm not going to take it this time. I want to skip to the next time. No, you can get things right immediately when you'll genuinely be sorry that you sinned against God, because you see, your sin and mine put some of those pharaohs in his back. Your sin and mine put some of the agony and pain and suffering. Those caused his heart to melt and to flow. Look at the price we cost him. Look at the thing. Look what he's done for us. And he asks us not to do anything else except accept it. Now you think about it. He wants us to realize, you see, that he has done so much for us. We don't deserve it. And there's no way that we could have done it for ourselves. Could not have done it for ourselves. So we're to put out, not to eat the supper with these individuals. Then those of the same faith are to observe the supper. Hebrews 13, verse 9. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Now, to understand fully this verse, you need to understand he's talking to the church, Hebrew church members who were scattered abroad. And he's telling them, we have an altar, Lord's Supper, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. The Jews, the rest of the Hebrews, were outside of the New Testament church, were striving to serve the Lord under the law, to keep the law. And they have no right to observe the Lord's Supper. Remember, when John confronted those about baptism and their if they had been saved or not, just remember that they said, "We are of our father Abraham. We're of the law. We're the special call privilege." Didn't get them anywhere. And by the way, privilege of the Lord's church is an abomination. It ought not never to be in the congregation. No respecter person, Jesus said. He's not. He said, we're not to be. All right, so those in fellowship, and I mentioned that earlier, Acts 2:41-42 again. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. First of all, in partaking of this supper, we are individually to examine ourselves. The church has already voted to observe the supper. Apparently, she's examined herself. She saw nothing that would keep us scripturally from observing the supper. Now, it's each individual's turn to examine themselves. And you're not examining them for the preacher. You're not examining them for this church. You're examining them for the Lord. So you have to be genuine. You have to be truthful. And if you've got something in your life that you shouldn't have and shouldn't observe the Lord's Supper for, you need to get it right. And remember, he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We're without excuse for not being ready to observe the Lord's Supper. We're without excuse for not instantly getting ready to observe the Lord's Supper. Then, a person must discern the Lord's body. 1 Corinthians 11:29, and we already mentioned this. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Now, this is personal. This is not anything to do with us being worthy to do it. We can never be worthy to do it. But it's the manner in which we do it. We're to do it worthily. We're to do it after we have done everything that is necessary for us to do to prepare and to be ready as a church, and to prepare and be ready as individual members of the church. And by the way, the Lord's Supper is restricted to the local New Testament church and her membership. There's no inviting the members of Albany to come down and observe the Lord's Supper with us. They're not a member. We don't have any authority over them. We cannot discipline them. We cannot examine them or interfere with them anyway. We have no authority. Our authority is over our membership. And that authority doesn't give any one individual that right, but the church as a whole. That's why she's first to examine herself, and then each individual examine themselves. So, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Jesus suffered horribly on that cross. As a matter of fact, the final blow that brought him down was when the soldier pierced his side and the blood flowed out. Blood and water, by the way. Much of his blood had already flowed out. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you need to take to heart the fact that Jesus died, and you need to take to your understanding how that he suffered, how greatly he suffered for you. And then you need to realize how much he loves you. And you need to be willing, because he's convicted you, and you know that there's something wrong between you and God. Then you need to look to him in repentance. And repentance is simply willing to turn from self and sin and turn to whatever you're holding on to that's keeping you away from him. Let it go and turn to him and trust him, because he's the only one who can save you. You're saved, you need to follow scriptural baptism, unite with the church. And in the church, you need to live your life as such to give him honor and glory. And that means you need to be studied up, you need to be prayed up. And in that praying up, you need to seek forgiveness for your sin, because not one of us lives above sin. That's why we're to daily confess our sins. And that's not casually, by the way, that's earnestly. Let's stand. Watch you sing, brother.